Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chuck Richo hanging out in the Kia Studios. Final hour of the program is the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. I got in the mood for some New Edition. So, can you, what is it, Sal? Can you stand the rain?
Can you stand the rain? Yes. Me and some friends performed this song in the high school talent show my senior year of high school.
Wait, say that again now?
Some friends of mine, me and some good friends from high school, we performed this in the high school talent show.
Yeah, this is the Johnny Gill era of New Edition.
Yeah, this was the first album they did after, well, not first, but...
After Bobby had left.
I want to say they did like one or two in between, but this was like the first one after, because there was like a little hiatus.
Right.
That they hadn't done any music. And then when they dropped this one and Johnny was in the group and kind of put him back on the map and put him, you know, really put him back in the scene, as you would say. Because they even had a stint where they did some music with Puffy. Like, they kind of reemerged and did
like
their
reinvented
thing.
Themselves.
Reinvented themselves, mm-hmm. I think when this album came out, like you said, you and I were in high school.
Right.
And then even after this album, they didn't do anything for a while. Everybody kind of started doing solo projects.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And yeah, then, I mean, by the early 90s, they were all split up on their own. I mean, because Bell Biv DeVoe, Johnny Gill went out on his own. Ralph Tresvant was on his own. I mean, obviously, Bobby was doing his own thing with Don't Be Cruel.
Yeah.
I mean,
but the fact that they were able to, like, you know, because of those separate entities and then this album and, you know, they've been able to survive all these years. And they still perform well from everything that I see. So, you know, good stuff.
Yeah, they, you know, we said that they were in concert. What was that? Was that about a year ago that they were in concert?
No, they were just here recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, they kind of almost perform. They've been kind of performing almost every year almost. But they were just here, back in March, I want to say?
Really?
Because I wanted to go to the concert. Or is it coming up? I know there was a New Edition concert. I feel like it already happened.
Where was
State Farm?
Was it a State Farm?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who opened for him?
That I don't know. I just remember, I'm almost positive it happened because I wanted to go because I wanted to take my wife. And I remember a high school friend of mine that lives here now in Georgia actually reached out and was like, hey, do you have any, you know, connect on tickets? And I was like, bro, I'm trying to get some myself. I wish. So, it was back in March.
Hold on. You're Day-Day Lewis.
Yeah.
You're V103.
Listen.
You couldn't get... For the concert?
I'm in the same boat as you, sir.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I tried.
It's not like back in the day.
I mean, I tried to get Dua Lipa tickets a couple years ago.
And, yeah.
man, that was like pulling teeth. And again, I understand. They give them to the clients and stuff like that. But I mean,
And it's changed. You know, before the pandemic, you know, we're all digital now. So it's not like physical tickets are actually in the building anymore. Like,
No. Yeah, everything's online.
Everything's online. Right, you know, back in the prior to COVID, you know, we would still get, you know, tickets.
But that also makes it very easy because if I'm going to Atlanta United on Saturday, right? And Kim Webb, who I think, what is she, our HR person or
something like that? Yeah.
But I mean, she.
Business department. Or
yeah, but I mean, she. And she doesn't work here, I think. I don't think she works here in Atlanta, right?
She was. I don't know. I think she's remote, though. Yeah,
I was going to say, I don't think she's in Atlanta anymore, but she may be, but whatever. I mean, but. You know, she's like our HR person.
Mm-hmm.
They can just transfer the tickets to you digitally.
Yep.
Like I got some Braves tickets earlier in the year. I got some Atlanta United, and they can just you don't have to like in the old days you'd have to go down or you know I'd have to like even at times I've had to go down to what was the lady's name that used to kind of handle the tickets here on the eighth floor
down by Rick's office?
Yes,
Carla.
Carla.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've had to go down to her office. Like, I got, went right before I had my heart attack. Mm-hmm. I had gotten tickets to Disney on Ice for my daughter and I to go. And then I had my heart attack and was, at, Kenneth Stone Hospital and, you know, could not really attend. You know, I was, trying to, I had tubes all stuck in me and, everything else. But my daughter and my ex, my daughter and my ex-wife went. Mm-hmm. But they were like, they were physical tickets. Like, they were in your hand in an envelope and stuff like that.
Yeah, those days are long gone for us now.
I mean, well, I remember when I went to the Olympics, I bought tickets from a guy that was kind of selling them secondhand, but I mean, he didn't jack up the prices. I mean, it wasn't like ticket, like what's
the scalpers and all that.
Yeah, I mean, but
like SeatGeek and all whatever they're called.
Yeah, SeatGeek and Vivid Seats and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't like one of those guys, but he was a ticket broker in the Galleria. And this is when the Galleria was kind of in that transitional phase where they had a movie theater.
Back in the 90s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This was not, 96. Yeah. I mean, when I bought the tickets. But, it was not the same high-end mall that it was when it opened.
Right.
But it still had some things in it. And there was a ticket broker in there, and I got all my Olympic tickets from him.
Mm.
And, they were the physical, they had the long yellow ticket and all that. They were decorative and all that kind of stuff. But I got all my, because I got boxing and baseball and volleyball and track and field. And I got like 7-8 events or whatever like that that I went to. And they were all physical tickets. And again, a lot of people still have their Olympic tickets and stuff like that. So, it's obviously that phase of, I've seen a lot of auctions online of famous tickets.
Right.
Right? Like whatever. Michael Jordan's first NBA game. Like we talked about that. I think Michael, the guy that had the auction for Michael Jordan's, maybe it was my other producer. What was the other guy's name?
Oh, Dylan.
Oh, him. But we were talking about some guy found in a shoebox two tickets to Michael Jordan's first game.
Oh, wow.
One of them wasn't used, though, because his buddy canceled out on him. So the guy went to the game, but he had one, ripped ticket, but he had one fresh one.
Oh.
And the ticket sold for, $250,000.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, $250,000, something like that.
Wow.
Because it was, the whole ticket. Like, it wasn't just one, a ripped ticket. It was, the actual full ticket that he had bought. But that's all gone away now. I mean, now we can't. Now if you, again, tickets, online thing. Yeah, it's all digital.
Yeah.
But it does make it easy from that standpoint.
Yeah, from that standpoint, yeah. But working in radio, it makes it the days of being able to say, well, let me see as we get closer to the show if there's anything extra.
Right.
Like, we have no clue what's going on until we get that email saying, hey, if you want to go.
they don't Travis d'Arnaud with a 2-run homer. So this thing is now 10-9. Still fighting chance for the Braves. 10-9 right now. Again, because it's so easy for clients and things like that to go and all that kind of stuff, then, we don't, You know, it's not like a client has to come down to the radio station and pick up tickets and stuff like that. Like, it can all be done just digitally. And, you know, it's really easy now. So,
well, it's funny that they didn't think of that before COVID. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there was the digital aspect, but COVID forced the hand.
I mean, Ticketmaster has an app. I mean, it's had an app for a long time. I mean, but, you know, again, I don't know why. But we don't seem like we have as much access to tickets at the radio station like what we used to.
No. And I think part of that, too, was because we used to, like, if we'd be at events, we could give tickets to winners, to listeners. But now we don't do that kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that stuff.
Well, not you, like the promo team.
Maybe Dukes and Bell or something like that, but I'm not doing that stuff. Are we invited to that? Are they having that?
The Father's Day?
Yeah.
I need to ask Mike when he gets back tomorrow. I'll probably be here without a doubt. It's a weekday, so. But I'm pretty sure they'll want you there.
Hope not. Yeah. Can I?
Well, you're supposed to take your daughter. I think everybody's supposed to have their kids there as well.
My daughter's not going to. I mean, what's she going to do? Stay up till 11 o'clock at night? Hang out with me till 11 o'clock at night?
I don't think it'd be that late, would it?
I'll be doing a show.
Well, if you're doing a show. Well,
I'll be doing the show.
We'll just Uber her home or have her mom come pick her up.
Oh, come on. I'm not going to. So I'm going to stick my teenage daughter in an Uber by herself.
Well, then have her mom come
right
and get her.
70 miles from where she lives.
It's Father's Day.
Okay. 70 miles from where she lives. She doesn't meet me halfway to get my daughter. She's going to drive from Canton, Georgia.
Give me your number. I'll call her.
To Buckhead.
I'll call her.
Okay. Let me see. Let me see. She's going to drive from Canton at night after working all day down to Buckhead to help me out. Have you been drug tested? Have you gone to see, you know, the pee in a cup guy or whatever? Come on, man.
Yeah, it is a weekday.
That's not going to happen. From our buddy J-Dub, they were here with Guy, Keith Sweat.
Yeah, back in March.
And yep. Tyrese opened for them. Tank was there, too. Well, thanks for that. But weren't they? And they were at State Farm Arena. Okay, State Farm.
Yeah, like I said, they've been pretty consistent with touring together.
Now, is Keith Sweat with them the whole time, or is just because they were here in Atlanta?
I think he was on the tour. I'm not 100% sure, but I think he was because it was a tour. It was called the Legacy Tour.
Well, I just thought it was new. I just thought it was New Edition.
Yeah, no, it was a full on tour, and I want to say him and Tyrese. I think that whole lineup toured together.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Because back in the old days, like they would have like the Club MTV tours.
Right.
That's one of the places where I saw Belle Biv DeVoe.
Okay.
So the Club MTV tour was Belle Biv DeVoe. It was Tony.
Oh, that's nice.
It was, oh gosh, who's the guy that sang that song, Still Knocking the Boots?
That was H-Town.
H-Town.
Yeah.
No. That wasn't H-Town.
Not Knocking the Boots?
No. That was. That's the song. Is it Candyman? Hold on. We had this discussion before. It was like Candyman, Still Knocking the Boots. Nah, I can't look all this up quickly. But, no, I think it was Candyman. It wasn't H-Town. Wasn't H-Town. Let me see if I can find Candyman, American singer, rapper. Yeah, Knocking the Boots by Candyman.
Okay, so that was the more upbeat version, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, it was. It had the sample of "Ooh Boy, I Love You So."
Yeah, well, that's what I mean by upbeat. Like it wasn't because the H-Town version was ballad. Ballad.
Yeah.
Style.
No. This was like a dance song.
Yeah.
That he did. So it was.
I remember. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was him, and then it was somebody else who was on the Club MTV tour. No, it wasn't Vanilla Ice. It might have been Jane Child.
Oh wow, I actually like that song.
Yeah. So I think it might have been her, but it was like, you know, a handful of these artists and stuff like that. And then the Budweiser Superfest Budweiser Superfest was Belle Biv DeVoe, Digital Underground. Ralph Tresvant was on that tour. Ralph Tresvant was on that tour as well. And I'm trying to remember who else was on that. One Keith Sweat, maybe Guy or somebody like that. But But again, it was like one of those kind of Superfest tours. So this was what this sounds like. That this was what this was with New Edition and Key Sweat and everybody.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was nice too. Because again, I mean, again, they're on my bucket list. Like I said, seen them separate, but never seen them as a whole.
And you think Bobby function at this point?
I saw some clips, and I mean, he's still, you know, because I think I don't know if it's 100%, but I think he's pretty like sobered up.
Well, he's remarried and all that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw clips that people put out there. He looked, I mean, you know, he, out of all of them, he probably moves the least the best.
You know, I met Ronnie DeVoe at, when he lived here in Smyrna.
Well, you know, he was on WAOK. He was doing a real estate show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was, this was probably.
So he lived off of, he lived in kind of the Smyrna Vinings area.
Okay.
Off of, I want to say it was Atlanta Highway, where he was living. And I gave him a quote for some landscape work at his house.
Oh, okay.
He came out and met him and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So, but this was, I don't know, 20 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, maybe. I mean, it was after they had kind of like faded out in their popularity and stuff like that.
So, gotcha.
But he was living out in the Smyrna Vinings area, because I met somebody and then he came out and we started talking and that kind of stuff. And I was like, wait a second. BBD. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. Nice.
But yeah. So I think it was Atlanta Highway.
Atlanta Road, maybe? Atlanta Road?
Or Atlanta Road, yeah. That area, that Smyrna Vinings,
yeah,
area,
I know,
Atlanta,
yeah.
Road.
We kind of live over in that area, so I know where you're talking about.
Oh, you're highfalutin.
Well, yeah, I don't
Sam
know
Mitchell,
that.
I think, still lives over there.
Really? It's a lot of people in that area.
Yeah, Sam Mitchell lived in the Smyrna Vinings area for a long time, so I don't know if he's still over there or not, but I thought he, maybe until recently, he was over there. All right, when we get back, is there any chance that the Falcons could double dip with 1,000-yard rushers? We can open up the phone lines, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Talk about that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. The truth is in the tears I cry. Because if it is enough.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at it, Chuck Reese Show. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. Bobby Brown going title track to the Don't Be Cruel album. Sure was a lot of hits on this album. It was just stacked up and down.
Up and down.
Oh, yeah. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We can open up the phone lines to you if you want. We took some calls earlier on this. So, you know, the Falcons were the first team in NFC history to have two guys that ran for 1,000 yards in the same season. Mike Vick and Warwick Dunn. They both ran for over 1,000 yards. Like, Mike was 1,039 yards, and I don't know what Warwick's number was. But they were the first team in NFC history to have done that. It had happened three times before. The Steelers did it with Rocky Blyer and Franco Harris. By the way, do you know Rocky Blyer was a Vietnam veteran?
No, I did not.
Yes, he was. He was a Vietnam veteran. I think he lost part of his foot in Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Played at Notre Dame, right? He played at Notre Dame because Franco Harris played at Penn State. I think Rocky Blyer played at Notre Dame. But anyway, Rocky Blyer, Franco Harris, they had done it. Larry Zonka, Mercury Morris, they had done, I think, in the 72 season when they were undefeated. And then the only other time it had been done before the Falcons did it in 06 was the Cleveland Browns, who with Ernest Biner and Kevin Mack had done it in, that was the 88 season, right? That was the second, that was the fumble game, not the drive, but the fumble. I think Mack and Biner had gone for 1,000 yards that year. So the Falcons were the first team in the NFC to do it. Since then, it's been done by the Giants, been done by the Panthers. And the latest team to have done it was Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram from the Baltimore Ravens. But could the Falcons find a way to have Tyler Algier and Bijan Robinson be 1,000-yard rushers? And we took some calls on this earlier. Look, I don't think it's out of the question. So a few things. One is, this offense is still going to be a run-heavy offense. It's still going to be a run-first type of offense. And you don't have a running back that is in the mold of a Derrick Henry from the standpoint of you can give him the ball 25, 30, 35 times a game, right? Like, we don't have a running back that can shoulder that kind of load. So you're going to have a split of some of the carries just naturally. And they want to be a multi-headed monster when it comes to running the football. Second thing is that I don't think Desmond Ridder is going to run it nearly as much as what Marcus Mariota did. Will there be some packages for Desmond Ridder to run? Yes. But there were absolutely designed runs consistently through games for Marcus Mariota. Now, we know why, because you want him throwing the football. You want him hucking it around, dropping back 25, 30 times a game? No, of course not. He was a dreadful passer. Again, I told you, at times we looked incompetent throwing the football. At times it was just like ridiculous to watch. It's like, have we ever thrown a forward pass? So that's the other part about it, is that I don't think they want to put Ridder in that kind of harm's way. Also, though, I don't think they want to put the burden of trying to win games on the shoulders of Desmond Ridder. You know, what do we lean on? Control the game, run the football, keep things close, keep the score down, right? And go from there. And then, you know, keep the things close where we can, you know, strike at some point and then find a way to win. I think, too, is that your offensive line is a run-first offensive line. You know, it's a lot easier, you know, to run block when you're just going up north and south and doing your thing. But we're a run-first offensive line. McGarry, Lindstrom, Dahlman, Bergeron, Matthews. I mean, that's we're a run-first built offensive line. Not dropping all the way back in pass coverage, thing like that. McGarry's a guy that is a really good run blocker, but you don't want him allowing, you know, or having a quarterback drop back 40 times a game for all of it. So I think for a lot of those reasons, and the other reason, Avery Williams is now not in the mix. So that may put a little bit more burden on Cordarrelle Patterson to return kicks, return punts. Now, we don't know for sure that he's going to return punts. He'll return kicks, but we don't know for sure that he's going to return punts. But I wouldn't mind seeing Cordarrelle Patterson back there returning punts. So if that's the case, you may lighten his load as far as offensive production goes, because you do have a two-headed monster and you have young guys who can do that. So I don't think it's entirely crazy to say that the Falcons may end up with two 1,000-yard rushers. And we know that a guy like Bijan Robinson can break off big runs, right? I mean, we know that he can handle big runs, but again, he can you know, break things away. Now, Tyler Allgeier is not the kind of guy that breaks away on a big time run, but certainly Bijan Robinson can be that guy. And Tyler Allgeier averaged almost 5 yards a carry. Remember, he averaged 4.9 yards per carry last year. You start averaging 5 yards a carry, and especially behind this offensive line, you can rack up some rushing yards. And we finished third in the NFL in rushing yards last year. So I don't think it's a completely crazy sentiment to think that we could find a way to have two 1,000-yard rushers. We may not have Derrick Henry run for 2,000 yards, but we could have two guys that run for 1,000 yards apiece. And if we did that, that would make us the first team in NFL history to have had two seasons where two guys ran for 1,000 yards. That's never been done before. And I think that looking at the quarterback, not wanting to put him under duress, not wanting him to be in harm's way, I think we could see a true split of the carries between Robinson and Allgeier. Now, Bijan Robinson, you know, who's going to play all over the place, you know, wide receiver, this and that, and right split out, and all these good kinds of things. He may not be a guy that gets a ton of carries, but you feel like he can hit a home run on any carry that he gets, right? You feel like that if he's at the 50-yard line, he breaks one through, he can take it to the house. He's got the speed to be able to run, you know, away from people. Tyler Allgeier doesn't have that kind of speed, but Bijan Robinson does. So, again, you know, we'll see how this offense plays itself out. But I think that, you know, what do they always say about a running game, right? That's a young quarterback's best friend in the NFL. And as Ridder goes into the first year of his, you know, hopefully long-term starting role on this team, that's a quarterback's best friend, is to have a really good run game. And you got two guys who can shoulder the load. Look, think about the fact that Tyler Allgeier had 1,000 yards in 7 starts. Now, he played every week. He played 17 games, but he only started, well, actually 16 games. He started 7, though. 7. It's all he started. 7 games last year. Bijan will probably be right out of the gate in the starting lineup. So you figure that those two guys could churn up a lot of yards. And I think that we want to be a team that obviously wants to run the football, control the clock, and, you know, dictate the pace of the game. And with that, those two guys could have outstanding seasons. As long as they become a good red zone efficient offense, I got no problem with it. I that's the main thing that I want with this team, is to be 67% touchdown efficiency in the red zone. If we can be that, we'll be a really good offense. So we'll see what happens. All right, Braves, right now, 10-9 right now, as the Braves are batting in the bottom of the ninth right now. So it looks like one out for the Braves. So Braves trying to tie this thing up. Guys are doing things all over the place. Riley's got a home run. He's got a couple of RBI. He's 4-for-5 tonight. Darno's 3-for-4 with 3 runs and 2 RBI. Riley scored 3 runs as well. Eddie Rosario's 2-for-5 with a run. Marcelo Zuna's hit a home run in this game. They've gotten 5 hits out of the 7, 8, and 9 spot in their order. Harris has a couple of hits and a walk. Arcia's got 2 hits and an RBI. Marcelo Zuna's got a hit, a home run, and an RBI. Ronnie's 1-for-4. He's scored and driven in a run. And Olsen really has been the one that hasn't really done as much. 1-for-5, hasn't scored, hasn't driven in a run. So we'll see what the Braves can rally at this point. Dave Robertson in for the Mets right now, who they've used 6 pitchers. Verlander, I mean, think about the 2 starters tonight. Verlander and Spencer Strider combined for 7 innings pitched, 15 hits, 13 runs, 12 of them earned with 6 walks and 11 strikeouts and 3 homers given up. Verlander had 82 pitches in 3 innings. Strider had 87 pitches through 4 innings. Wasn't exactly either one of those guys' best starts that we've seen out of them, right? And we joked about the fact that this would be a really good pitching matchup, and here it is, you know, an offensive slugfest. So, anyway. But Braves look to try to tie this thing up. It is bottom of the ninth, so it is crunch time now, so we'll see. Oh, wow. And they just tied it up. Yeah. How about that? Dave Robertson just served up a meatball, and Orlando Arcia.
And he knew it as soon as
he did.
Knew
yeah,
it.
Again, he hit that thing a long way because that was and Dave Robertson crunched over to the mound and just he knew as soon as he gave up that ball that it was a home run. So Arcia now with 3 hits, a run and 2 RBI. Arcia's hitting .326 with a .382 on base and a .486 slugging percentage. Think he's not having fun playing every day? Think he's not doing things, you know, playing every single day now, getting in the lineup?
I'll say it every day. Most dangerous lineup in baseball, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, their bottom of the order is just ridiculous.
Yeah, those arms together, Braves are going to be a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, one more segment to go. We'll head to the top of the hour in the JR Sports Brief. Chuck Green, the Key Studios. Sports Radio, 910 The Game, Odyssey.com app. Well, it looks like they're going to extra innings in Atlanta tonight. Come and talk to me. I really Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. I really want to know your name. Arcia homered in the bottom of the ninth to tie it up. Braves actually rallied. They got 2 in the eighth, 1 in the bottom of the ninth. It's now 10-10. So there's been 20 runs, 32 hits in the game. So far, Nimmo is homered. Alvarez has hit 2 homers. Darno is homered. Ozuna has homered. Arcia has homered. And Riley has homered. Braves are only 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position. Mets are only 4-for-14 with runners in scoring position. So a lot of guys have been left on base in scoring position, and they haven't really capitalized on all of it. If you didn't hear earlier, Spencer Strider, 4 innings, 8 hits, 8 runs, all of them earned, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, and a couple of home runs that he gave up, 87 pitches in 4 innings. Not the most efficient night for him. Verlander had 3 innings of 7 hits, 5 runs, 4 earned, 4 walks, a homer, and 3 strikeouts, 82 pitches in 3 innings. So do they still do that Fakakta man at second base thing this season?
I think they do, yeah.
Oh, God.
But I don't think it's...
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he is, yeah. So, yeah, they still do. I couldn't remember if they were... Because I don't know why I was thinking that they didn't do it in the first extra inning, but it was afterward. But, no, I guess it is the first extra inning.
Yeah,
so.
they start. Texture says at 404-726-0929, how do Arcia's stats compare to Dansby? Well, to be fair, Dansby's played a lot more games because Arcia was hurt. Coming into tonight, and this is not counting tonight's stats because Arcia's 3-for-5, scored a run, driven in two. His average is now up to 326. Arcia was hitting 317 with a 375 on base, four homers, 15 RBI, 21 runs scored. But Dansby's played 60 games. He's only scored 29 runs, 13 doubles, two triples, six homers, 26 RBI, four stolen bases, hitting 266 with a 360 on base. That's one of his highest on base percentages ever, and a 416 slugging. So he's a 776 OPS, and Orlando Arcia was a 835 OPS coming into tonight. And again, all he's done is pad that because he's got a homer, he's got a couple of RBI, he's got three hits on the night. So he's been outstanding. I mean, he's been one of the big stories of the year. Think about, I mean, the bottom of their lineup tonight again, 6-for-14, 6-for-14, two runs and three RBI out of the 7, 8, and 9 hitters. And that's what we talk about. Deepest lineup in baseball, right? I asked John Heyman about this last night. I said, is this the deepest lineup in baseball? And maybe. You know, could be. And, you know, it's extraordinary what they can do. So the only guy who's not gotten a hit tonight is Ozzie Albies. He's been up four times, 0-for-4. He has scored a run in a game. He drew a walk. And he's the only guy in the starting lineup that doesn't have a hit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six guys in the lineup have multiple hits tonight. So it's been crazy. I mean, the Mets been the same way. I mean, you know, they've gotten – Nimmo's got the grand slam, so he's got a couple of runs and four RBI, and he's 1-for-5. Alvarez is 2-for-4 with the three RBI. So let's hope the Braves can win this thing and sweep the Mets out of here. So I'd like to see them – sweep them before they get out of here. So anyway, 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. Do you watch any hockey playoffs at all, Day-Day? Are you a hockey fan at all?
I haven't recently. The last time I was intensely in you know, engulfed in hockey playoffs was like that 90, I want to say it was like 95, 96 era when it was kind of like Detroit and New Jersey kind of were the two teams that were really the Colorado, hot teams. Yeah, Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, at one time, I mean, Detroit and Colorado were the best rivalry in
hockey.
Yeah,
so that was really the last time I was, like, really into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. It was mid-90s, 95, 96. I mean, I was a Penguins fan only because I'm from Northeast Ohio. We didn't have a professional hockey team, so Pittsburgh was the closest place that we had, so... I did go to the Igloo once, but
nice.
I was a Penguins fan, but I was really into a lot of the players in, you know, Colorado and Detroit were such a good rivalry. I mean, it was really a good rivalry, and they were full of stars. I mean, again, the Joe Sakics and the Sergei Fedorov and Brendan Shanahan and Steve Yzerman and who was the guy that the guy that from Colorado. I can see his face. I mean, he was one of the best two-way players in the NHL. Peter Forsberg, Joe Sakic, guys like that. I mean, and then, you know, you had like these teams that weren't very good, but they had stars, right? I mean, Teemu Selanne, Paul Kariya for Anaheim, you know, guys like that that were obviously the Flyers with the Legion of Doom, Brind'Amour, Lindros. What's the guy's name? John LeClair, right? I mean, that was their starting line, and you know, those guys were, you know, like all 50 goal scorers and stuff like that. So Gretzky and stuff. I mean, you know, Pavel Bure, one of my favorite players. You know, I liked all the Russians, Sergei Fedorov, Pavel Bure. Like I love the Russian players. Like they played a very open style, and they were just, you know, going after it. So I always loved some of the Russian players that were in the NHL, but. You know, I would love for hockey to be back in Atlanta, you know, just to give us more options. And I'll be honest with you, I think hockey belongs up in the burbs. Like, I don't have a problem if it's downtown or whatever, if it's, you know, at State Farm Arena or whatever. Like, I don't have a problem with all of that, but I can see for a change of pace, you know, like something like hockey being out in the burbs, you know? And it would depend on who would own the team, you know, like who would own the hockey team in Atlanta. I don't know who the, besides Arthur Blank. I mean, so forget, take Arthur Blank out of the mix and take Bernie Marcus out of the mix. So if those guys aren't in the mix, who's the, you know, and take Tony Ressler out of it, I guess, as well.
I was going to say, you're taking Ressler out of it,
too. Yeah, I'm taking Tony Ressler out of it as well. Who's the billionaire in town that would own the hockey team? Who's the next billionaire? I mean, it'd be somebody like, would it be somebody like Tyler Perry, or are there like other billionaire businessmen in town here?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, obviously it'd have to be, not to say that, I mean, I know absolutely nothing about Tyler Perry, but obviously you want it to be somebody that's going to be really into hockey.
Yeah, like, and I'm not saying he could be an owner by himself, because you got to be a billionaire.
Yeah, you got to be a billionaire. And I think the biggest thing is you got to be into it. Like, the thing about the Falcons was Arthur Blank was, he was into the team. He wanted a team that was going to be a winning team.
Right.
He didn't want a team just to say, I own an NFL team.
Right.
And I think you have too much of that sometimes with people buying and investing, you know, in these investor groups. It's all about just saying, having your name on a franchise versus really being invested and, you know, going through the ups and downs of, you know, luxury tax to win and, you know, just all of that stuff. So that's what, whoever it is, it's got to be somebody that's going to want to really sweat it and gut it out for them to be successful. Because does you no good if you just got a team and they suck. And again, to your point, if they are in the burbs, even up there, no one's going to go see them.
Yeah, I agree. I, you know, look, let's face it. The Braves are up in the burbs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're up in the burbs now.
Technically, yeah, that's the burbs.
Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah.
I mean, it's not Atlanta. It's not the city of Atlanta.
No, it's not
Atlanta.
The city.
I mean, it's not the city of Atlanta. And look, I selfishly, like, where they're talking about putting the arenas and stuff like that, that's right up by me. I mean, that's in that north.
I mean, that's
point.
A good area. That's not a bad area.
Course.
And again, if you got a good product, that's the perfect spot. If the team is a winning team.
The only problem would be the traffic tie-up.
Yeah.
I mean, that area is completely congested already.
Yeah, that's true.
You would have, I mean, again, it would just be ridiculous up there. I mean, again, MARTA does not go that far. So MARTA is miles south of where that area would be of the arena and stuff like that. It just, that area gets so congested. I mean, if you ever drive around Old Milton Parkway by by the what is it called, the Avalon, it's as congested as could be. You can't get around some of those areas, and the parking is atrocious because you'd have to build the arena and parking and everything else. It's just I like the concept of it. I don't know that the area fits with everything, just because of, you'd have to do something about the traffic. You'd either have to expand MARTA, or you'd have to do something about the traffic, because there's no way you can just drive around. I'm telling you, like, I live up there and I deal with it every moment of every day. You can't just drive around up there and then all of a sudden plop down an event that gets another 20. Listen, even when they have those concerts at the amphitheater,
it used to be the Verizon. I don't know if it's
whatever it is. Yeah. It's Ameris. Is it Ameris Bank?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah,
now.
I think it's Ameris Bank Amphitheater. Even then, the traffic gets tied up, and there's 5 different ways to get in there. And it's not nearly the kind of crowd that you would get for a hockey match, but certainly it's suburbia out there. So anyway, but I'd like to have hockey back, though.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I used to go to the Thrasher games.
Yeah, I did too. It's more fun to go to a hockey game than to watch it on TV.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and hockey was the first time that I realized sitting up higher was better to enjoy.
Yes.
You know, it's, you know, football, all that. You kind of like to be hockey. You want to sit up tuck because you can keep up with that puck.
Yep.
And you can really see the full action.
Yep.
So me and my daughter used to go all the time.
The one benefit about being down low is when the guys go into the boards.
Yeah, that was probably the only thing I never got to experience. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, I love
and minor league hockey is good for a lot of fights. That's the one thing about the gladiators and all that kind of stuff. All right, going to wrap things up with the Love TKO up next. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, Sports Radio, to the game, Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Well, it looks like they're going to extra innings in Atlanta tonight.
Come and talk to me. I really
Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along.
I really want to know your name.
Arcia homered in the bottom of the ninth to tie it up. Braves actually rallied. They got 2 in the eighth, 1 in the bottom of the ninth. It's now 10-10. So there's been 20 runs, 32 hits in the game. So far, Nimmo is homered. Alvarez has hit 2 homers. Darno is homered. Ozuna has homered. Arcia has homered. And Riley has homered. Braves are only 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position. Mets are only 4-for-14 with runners in scoring position. So a lot of guys have been left on base in scoring position, and they haven't really capitalized on all of it. If you didn't hear earlier, Spencer Strider, 4 innings, 8 hits, 8 runs, all of them earned, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, and a couple of home runs that he gave up, 87 pitches in 4 innings. Not the most efficient night for him. Verlander had 3 innings of 7 hits, 5 runs, 4 earned, 4 walks, a homer, and 3 strikeouts, 82 pitches in 3 innings. So Do they still do that Fakakta man at second base thing this season?
I think they do, yeah.
Oh, God.
But I don't think it's...
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's, there he is. Yeah, so, yeah, they still do. I couldn't remember if they were... Because I don't know why I was thinking that they didn't do it in the first extra inning, but it was afterward. But no, I guess it is the first extra inning.
Yeah,
so.
they start. Texture says at 404-726-0929, how do Arcia's stats compare to Dansby? Well, to be fair, Dansby's played a lot more games because Arcia was hurt. Coming into tonight, and this is not counting tonight's stats because Arcia's 3-for-5, scored a run, driven in two. His average is now up to .326. Arcia was hitting .317 with a .375 on base, four homers, 15 RBI, 21 runs scored. But Dansby's played 60 games. He's only scored 29 runs, 13 doubles, two triples, six homers, 26 RBI, four stolen bases, hitting .266 with a .360 on base. That's one of his highest on base percentages ever. And a 416 slugging. So he's a 776 OPS, and Orlando Arcia was a 835 OPS coming into tonight. And again, all he's done is pad that because he's got a homer, he's got a couple of RBI, he's got three hits on the night. So he's been outstanding. I mean, he's been one of the big stories of the year. Think about, I mean, the bottom of their lineup tonight again. 6 for 14, two runs, and three RBI out of the 7, 8, and 9 hitters. And that's what we talk about. Deepest lineup in baseball, right? I asked John Heyman about this last night. I said, is this the deepest lineup in baseball? Maybe. You know, could be. And, you know, it's extraordinary what they can do. So the only guy who's not gotten a hit tonight is Ozzie Albies. He's... been up 4 times, 0-for-4. He has scored a run in a game. He drew a walk, and he's the only guy in the starting lineup that doesn't have a hit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six guys in the lineup have multiple hits tonight. So it's been crazy. I mean, the Mets been the same way. I mean, you know, they've gotten – Nimmo's got the grand slam, so he's got a couple of runs and four RBI, and he's 1-for-5. Alvarez is 2-for-4 with the 3 RBI. So let's hope the Braves can win this thing and sweep the Mets out of here. So I'd like to see them sweep them before they get out of here. So anyway, 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. Do you watch any hockey playoffs at all, Day-Day? Are you a hockey fan at all?
I haven't recently. The last time I was intensely in engulfed in hockey playoffs was like that 90, I want to say it was like 95, 96 era when it was kind of like Detroit and New Jersey kind of were the two teams that were really the
Colorado,
hot teams. Yeah, Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, at one time, I mean, Detroit and Colorado were the best rivalry in
hockey.
Yeah,
so that was really the last time I was like really into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. It was mid-90s, 95, 96. I mean, I was a Penguins fan only because I'm from Northeast Ohio. We didn't have a professional hockey team. So Pittsburgh was the closest place that we had. So I did go to the Igloo once. I was a Penguins fan, but I was really into a lot of the players in, you know, Colorado and Detroit were such a good rivalry. I mean, it was really a good rivalry, and they were full of stars. I mean, again, the Joe Sakics and the Sergei Fedorov and Brendan Shanahan and Steve Yzerman and who was the guy that the guy that from Colorado, I can see his face. I mean, he was one of the best two-way players in the NHL. Peter Forsberg, Joe Sakic, guys like that. I mean, and then you know you had like these teams that weren't very good, but they had stars, right? I mean, Timu Solani, Paul Kariya for Anaheim, you know, guys like that that were obviously the Flyers with the Legion of Doom, Brind'Amour, Lindros, what's the guy's name? John LeClair, right? I mean, that was their starting line, and, you know, those guys were, you know, like all 50-goal scorers and stuff like that. So Gretzky and stuff, I mean, you know, Pavel Bure, One of my favorite players. You know, I liked all the Russians. Sergei Fedorov, Pavel right. Bure. Like, I love the Russian players. Like, they played a very open style, and they were just, you know, going after it. So I always loved some of the Russian players that were in the NHL. But, you know, I would love for hockey to be back in Atlanta, you know, just to give you – just to give us more options. And I'll be honest with you, I think hockey belongs up in the burbs. Like, I don't have a problem if it's downtown or whatever, if it's, you know, at State Farm Arena or whatever. Like, I don't have a problem with all of that, but I can see for a change of pace, you know, like something like hockey being out in the burbs, you know? And it would depend on who would own the team, you know, like who would own the hockey team in Atlanta. I don't know who the... Besides Arthur Blank, I mean, so forget, take Arthur Blank out of the mix and take Bernie Marcus out of the mix. So if those guys aren't in the mix, who's the, you know, and take Tony Ressler out of it, I guess, as well.
I was going to say, you're taking Ressler out of it,
too? Yeah, I'm taking Tony Ressler out of it as well. Who's the billionaire in town that would own the hockey team? Who's the next billionaire? I mean, would it be somebody like Tyler Perry, or are there like other billionaire businessmen in town here?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, obviously, it'd have to be, not to say that, I mean, I know absolutely nothing about Tyler Perry, but obviously you want it to be somebody that's going to be really into hockey.
Yeah, and I'm not saying he could be an owner by himself, because you got to be a billionaire.
Yeah, you got to be a billionaire. And I think the biggest thing is you got to be into it. Like, the thing about the Falcons was Arthur Blank was... He was into the team. He wanted a team that was going to be a winning team.
Right.
He didn't want a team just to say, I own an NFL
right.
team.
Right.
And I think you have too much of that sometimes with people buying and investing, you know, in these investor groups. It's all about just saying, having your name on a franchise right. versus really being invested and, you know, going through the ups and downs of, you know, luxury tax to win and, you know, just all of that stuff. So that's what, whoever it is, it's got to be somebody that's going to want to really sweat it and gut it out for them to be successful, because does you no good if you just got a team and they suck. And again, to your point, if they are in the burbs, even up there, no one's going to go see them.
Yeah, I agree. I, you know, look, let's face it. The Braves are up in the burbs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're up in the burbs now.
Technically, yeah, that's the burbs.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Atlanta. It's not the city of Atlanta. I mean, it's not the city of Atlanta. And look, I selfishly, like, where they're talking about putting the arenas and stuff like that, that's right up by me. I mean, that's in that north.
I mean, that's a good area. That's not a bad area. And again, if you got a good product, that's the perfect spot. If the team is a winning team.
The only problem would be the traffic tie-up.
Yeah.
I mean, that area is completely congested already.
Yeah, that's true.
You would have, I mean, again, it would just be ridiculous up there. I mean, again, MARTA does not go that far. So MARTA is miles south of where that area would be of the arena and stuff like that. It just, that area gets so congested. I mean, if you ever drive around Old Milton Parkway by by the what is it called, the Avalon, it's as congested as could be. You can't get around some of those areas, and the parking is atrocious because you'd have to build the arena and parking and everything else. It's just I like the concept of it. I don't know that the area fits with everything, just because of you'd have to do something about traffic. You'd either have to expand MARTA or you'd have to do something about the traffic, because there's no way you can just drive around. I'm telling you, like, I live up there and I deal with it every moment of every day. You can't just drive around up there and then all of a sudden plop down an event that gets another 20. Listen, even when they have those concerts at the amphitheater
it used to be the Verizon. I don't know if it's still
whatever
is.
Whatever it is. Yeah. It's Ameris. Is it Ameris Bank?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah,
now.
I think it's Ameris Bank Amphitheater. Even then, the traffic gets tied up, and there's five different ways to get in there. And it's not nearly the kind of crowd that you would get for a hockey match, but certainly it's suburbia out there. So anyway, but I'd like to have hockey back, though.
Yeah, definitely. I used to go to the Thrasher games.
Yeah, I did too. It's more fun to go to a hockey game than to watch it on TV.
Yeah. I mean, and hockey was the first time that I realized sitting up higher was better to enjoy.
Yes.
You know, it's, you know, football, all that. You kind of like to be hockey. You want to sit up tight because you can keep up with that puck.
Yep.
And just, you can just really see the full action.
Yep.
So I me and my daughter used to go all the time.
The one benefit about being down low is when the guys go into the boards.
Yeah, that was probably the only thing I never got to experience. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, I love
and minor league hockey is good for a lot of fights. That's the one thing about the gladiators and all that kind of stuff. All right, going to wrap things up with a Love TKO up next. Chuck Green, the Key Studios. Sports Radio, now to the game, Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.